Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Manodari Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjanam Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjanam Yamuna Tera Banachari Yamuna Tera Banachari Nyunjaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadhari Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjanam Yamuna Tera Banachari Yamuna Tera Banachari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Nitya Leela Pravista Asta Tarasata Sisi Man His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gradha Shri Vasudeva Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kundarada Kundi Gita Govardhan Ki Jai Grantharad Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Bhimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus seed of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 14, text number 51, the final verse in this chapter 14. Maitreya Huvacha Shrutva Bhagavatam Putram Amudata Ditibrisham Putrayascha Vadan Krishnad Vitit Vashin Mahamana Maitreya Huvacha Shrutva Bhagavatam Putram Amodata dicit brisham putrayascha vadan krishnad vidit vashin mahamana maitreya huvacha shutva bhagavatam bhutyam amodata ditir brisham putrayascha vadan krishnad vidit vashin mahamana. Please chant. Maitreya Huvacha. The sage Maitreya said, Shutva, by hearing Bhagavatam, to be a great devotee of the Lord. Putram, grandson, Amodata, took pleasure. Diti, Brisham, very greatly, putrayo, of two sons, cha, also, vadam, the killing, krishnat, by Krishna, viditva, knowing this, asit, became, mahamana, highly pleased in the mind. Translation. The sage Maitreya said, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Diti was very much aggrieved to learn that because of her untimely pregnancy, her sons would be demons and would fight with the Lord. But when she heard that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her two sons would be killed by the Lord, she was very satisfied. As the wife of a great sage and the daughter of the great Prajapati Daksha, she knew that being killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a great fortune. Since the Lord is absolute, his acts of violence and nonviolence are both on the absolute platform. There is no difference in such acts of the Lord. Mundane violence and nonviolence have nothing to do with the Lord's acts. A demon killed by him attains the same result as one who attains liberation after many, many births of penance and austerities. The word brisham is significant herein because it indicates that Diti was pleased beyond her expectations. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. Om Agyanata Madandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Melitam Yatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangunam Jayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Avancha Kapatribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. We have a very linear mindset as being in this material world because everything has a past, present, and future. So when we in the recitation of Bhagavatam, as we have it from our preceptor Srila Prabhupada, when we read this sentence, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the whatever canto, whatever chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled such and such, should bring us some joy because we know we're progressing. We're moving along in the path of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam without Srila Prabhupada's purports can be quite confusing, quite difficult to grasp some of the meanings, some of the points of the verses. But by the example and by the instruction of the pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, we can have a deeper insight, as he has, to these verses of the Bhagavatam. And each chapter ends with him saying this. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to this section. So this is significant for us because this is how we know that we're moving along on the path, you know, reading more, reading extended volumes of the Bhagavatam, progressing. We've already been through the entire Bhagavatam at least once or twice in our community. And there's no idea that, okay, well, we finished this, now we can go to something else. And we'll keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. The more we read the Bhagavatam, the more we read Prabhupada's purports, the more we understand. So this is always nice when we see that little sentence there at the end of the purport. So this verse today brings us to the end of this, what's sometimes been an awkward scenario in the description of the relationship between Diti and Kasyapa and the resultant pregnancy. The details of all of this have been very thoroughly looked at and discussed, and they help us to understand that, as one songwriter noted, there's a time and place for everything. And the inappropriate time for pregnancy was observed, and as a result, some difficulty ensued. However, by the end of this chapter, Diti has gained full knowledge that the result of her actions, which were adharmic, were going to be not favorable. And she's learned this here, that when we do something, there is a reaction for it. Doesn't matter if we're on the highest platform or the lowest platform, there is a reaction for these activities. I'm reminded of this every single day where I work because one of my associates drinks one of these energy drinks, which is entitled Karma. That's the name of the energy drink, Karma. So, and he has a habit of setting these bottles down in the department and losing them. Lost your karma, huh? Not that easy, you know. He said, no, it's really easy. I always set it down somewhere. I said, yeah, but your karma will find you. You always find it. So, karma, what an interesting name to give an energy drink. I mean, we could go into that whole thing, but the point being that she's understanding, yes, there's an action here. And so we learn from this chapter that even advanced devotees, even those that are actually empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to carry out the necessities of functions of the universe, they can be overcome by the desires of material nature and thus fall prey to lust and the resultant actions that lust and will bring. Now, this next chapter that we'll start, this will now lead us through how Diti decides to atone for this activity, what she decides to do. But today, here in this verse, looking at it, we can see many conflicting statements and opposing frames of mind. Firstly, who wouldn't be happy, even overjoyed, to know that their grandchild is going to be a great devotee of the Lord? Now, I've used my own granddaughters as an example of this repeatedly and likely beyond all tolerance of the assembled devotees here. This is a class in praise of the Bhagavatam, not my lovely granddaughters, which I have taken that opportunity. But here we see, especially on the heels of Diti's less than beneficial action that brought about this pregnancy, the great news to her that her grandson would be a pure devotee. And this makes her very happy. And as Vaishnavas, as aspiring Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, this is what we desire, is that our successive generations will bring about the glories of the Lord. Now, it's quite a natural thing for a materialist to want to have generations after them. I have two daughters and a son, and both of my daughters had two daughters. And so I was like, all right, are there going to be any boys to carry on the family name? Well, then my son had a son. So, okay. So this is the mentality that let the family name go on for generations. You know, we can look throughout history and find great personalities. And sometimes it's even noted in the name, Henry Smith. His son is Henry Smith II. His son is Henry Smith III. Henry Smith, like this, you know, there's been a bunch of us here. So this is the aspiration of the materialist. So what to speak of for the devotee to know that their grandchildren will be great devotees? Okay, this is fine. Whatever else does or doesn't happen, at least this will happen. Now, Prabhupada's noted in many different places the bond of a mother's love for her children. He's noted that this is the highest standard, the highest level of love one can find in the material world. And we can easily find in various news reports and things of mothers doing superhuman activities to save their child, rushing into fiery buildings or lifting automobiles. And, you know, we read about these things. And so when the mother's love for the child comes to call, she can do anything, will do anything. Even Prabhupada mentions in one class that if there's a burning house and someone runs in and there's several children and they only are able to save their own child, no one will criticize them. Oh, you just saved your child. What about the other children? Now, somebody will criticize. Somebody always criticizes. But the point being that this is the natural affinity to save the child. So, therefore, it seems quite unlikely, as a contrast to that, that we hear Diti feeling very satisfied that her sons are going to be killed. But who is going to do this? This is going to be Lord Vishnu. So she actually sets aside what would be the natural motherly affection, knowing the bad nature and activities of her sons. Of course, not fully knowing them. That will come to pass in due course of time. I mean, just imagine, you know, you're the mother and you're getting daily reports on, I don't know, X or Twitter or WhatsApp or whatever it is. Yeah. And today your son killed all the Brahmins. And today your son conquered all the heavenly planets. And today your son subjugated all the demigods. I mean, it's like, oh, is this kid ever going to stop? You know, this is not, you know, the satisfying news that Diti wants to hear. But she comes to understand that eventually they will be killed by Lord Vishnu. And she's a devotee. Therefore, she's satisfied by this. Now, this brings us to the necessity of understanding the difference between Shreyas and Prayas. Now, these are explained very simply. Shreyas means for the ultimate good, and Prayas means for immediately what is palatable, what is enjoyable. So Prayas, what I'm going to get right now, Shreyas, what I'll get in the future. There's much talk these days of investments. Everyone wants a big return on whatever their investment is financially. And if the investment return is not very big, they're very unhappy. So they're willing to set aside the Prayas of immediately spending that money and investing it in something so that the Shreyas of a future return will be there. So this is a very mundane explanation of it. But this is the basic understanding of it. So Diti draws on this understanding as she looks at the overall circumstances of this pregnancy she's has and the two sons that will be born. Now, in this case, Prayas would be that her sons live a very long life and that she can enjoy their presence and their children and family situation, all like this. But she understands from Maitreya, from her husband, the harm that these two sons are going to inflict on humanity, not just humanity, but on the planet, not only the planet, but on the entire universe, on all of creation. That's how powerful these two sons are. So with that in mind, she accepts the prayas, the ultimate good, that they'll be killed by Lord Vishnu. Now, in the purport here, Prabhupada notes that this understanding is due to her being the wife of the great sage Kasyapa and the daughter of Daksha, both of whom are exalted devotees, exalted progenitors, and sages of the universe. Therefore, by their example, by associating with them, by hearing from them, all of this and much more, she has also developed this high spiritual understanding. This is a very practical and vivid example for us of the necessity of sadhusanga. Sadhusanga is the qualifying, the solidifying factor here. This necessity of who we associate with will develop our mind, our state of mind, our consciousness. This is stressed repeatedly throughout all the shastras, throughout all of Prabhupada's lectures, throughout every devotional concept, that the association that we keep is going to impact our consciousness. And by impacting our consciousness that way, I mean, Prabhupada famously said, you know, you associate with drunkards, you become a drunker. You associate with businessmen, you become a businessman. Prabhupada gives this example in classes of the businessmen associations. They get together to discuss like principles and things of this nature like that. So as sadhus, we get together. What was this back here? The Sanskrit. To hear Shrutva Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam in its written form and Bhagavatam as the great devotees of the Lord. So, of course, we know Prabhupada has instructed us, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, that we study the Bhagavatam regularly. There should be something we're reading every day on the devotional path. If we're not, then what are we doing? So this is the necessity because it formulates, it molds what our consciousness is going to be, what our focus is going to be, what our direction is going to be. So this is the benefit here of Diti having the association of her great husband Kasyapa and Father Daksha. Of course, Daksha has his own issues to be dealt with and other sections of the Bhagavatam, which we'll hear about also, which leads us back to the original point that I was making at the beginning of the purport, is that even great devotees can make mistakes, fall down, be implicated by lust, material consciousness like this. So this is the factor that Diti's drawing here, is that the wife's benefiting greatly from the husband's activities. My own wife likes to remind me this very much, that the results that I get from going on pilgrimage, from doing different homas, from different devotional activities, that she equally benefits in this. Whether it's equal or whether it's more her side and less mine, or my, you know, that's a debatable subject depending on who you talk to. But the point being that husband and wife share together in the results that they execute in their devotional path. This is why the husband and wife should be of similar temperament and have similar paths in their devotional progress, in their devotional practices. So in this way, we can find that they can work together, as Prabhupada said, double potency, you know, in their efforts to become Krishna conscious. Then we also find that the sages, Maitreya in particular in this section of the Bhagavatam, had the understanding of Shreyas and Preyas as well. Being able to see the result of the activities that are taking place now and then what those activities will bring in the future. This takes a certain amount of spiritual intelligence to look at a situation and understand, okay, this will bring this result. This is also sometimes referred to as trikala gya, being able to see past, present, and future, is that the sages can understand what's going to take place, not only just by observing circumstances, but by their knowledge of the shastras and the time and the ages and things of this nature. So the sages are also engaged in this activity of Shreyas and Preyas, seeing what's coming and what's going to, and can relay that to them as Maitreya has done in this chapter here. Now, Prabhupada makes a strong point here about the non-dualistic nature of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not good and bad. He's not right or wrong. He's not kind or mean. All of his activities are equal because they're beneficial and spiritual. Now, to the outsider, to one who is not conversant in the activities of the Lord, in the mercy of the Lord, who's not conversant in the instructions of the Bhagavad, then they'll look at the activities of the Lord and think, well, these are good and bad. Prabhupada famously says in several lectures that Krishna is not more partial to the devotee. He's equal to everyone. But he is actually partial to the devotee because the devotee is appreciating him and glorifying him. When Jayananda was driving the taxi and also managing the San Francisco temple, many of his classes would relay his experiences behind the wheel. And as I look at these different verses I'm asked to speak on, I can't help but look at the circumstances that I find myself in my own occupation. There are some customers I deal with that come in to see me in the plumbing department at Lowe's that barely give any reciprocation to, you do what's necessary, but they're just not very pleasant people. And then there are other personalities that come in and they're very, very kind to me, very nice, and they appreciate me, and so you go out of your way to help them quite naturally. And then, of course, the devotees come in and it's just all fun. So, you know, you get the opportunity when the devotees come in to, okay, you got your, okay, great, now let's talk about something important here, you know. So, in this way, we see that the idea of the Lord being right or wrong, good or bad. This isn't there because all of his activities are beneficial for everyone. Now, repeatedly we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically in the 10th canto in the Vrindavan Leela, how Krishna's killing of the demons is very beneficial for them. It puts an end to their mischievous, detrimental activities, and at the same time, it gives them an opportunity for liberation because they've been killed directly by the Lord. Usually when a demon is engaged in his activities, there's quite a bit of karma, as we were mentioning earlier, there's quite a bit of karma to be dealt with. Cause so much trouble, okay, so on like this. But in Krishna's activities, when he kills these demons, they immediately get liberation. Now, this is interesting. It's noted in the famous bhajan, Viva Havari Sesha. It's a waking bhajan for listening to in the morning particularly. And half the verses in that bhajan are Krishna killing this demon, that demon, the other demon, you know. And listening to Prabhupada's reading of the translation, giving his purport, is very, very nice. And Prabhupada mentions how all of these demons are killed like this. So Diti is well aware, due to this association with Kasyapa and her father, Daksha, she's well aware of the benefit that her two demoniac sons are going to get. Of course, you know, we can set aside the whole fact that, you know, this is one of the three births that they're going to take, and Jaya and Vijaya, that's a whole other topic. But looking at them just in this exclusive exchange, in this particular pastime, we note like that. Now, it's also noted here that the mentality that she has can only be had, can only be developed by a devotee. No mother wants to know that her sons are going to be killed. No mother wants to know that they're going to meet the kind of horrific ends that Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha are going to find at the end of their life. But knowing that Krishna is going to be the one doing this brings her happiness because she is a devotee. And the devotee appreciates the activities of the Lord, understands that what the Lord is doing will bring this ultimate benefit. Now, it's also interesting to note here in regards to the knowledge that Maitreya shares with her about her sons in the future. In the future is something that sometimes we're too impatient to wait for, you know. I want it right now. And we don't always get things. Now, this is a particular mentality with toddlers. Those of you who have raised or are raising or teaching or surrounded by toddlers, you understand this this mentality. I remember one time, one of my granddaughters, I forget which one, got very much upset because she wanted to eat something and it wasn't immediately ready. It takes time to prepare. You know, you have to get the stove warmed up and, you know, washed and cut and mixed and so on and so on. Everybody knows what that. But no, I want it now. But it doesn't happen that way. It takes time to prepare. You become very, very much disappointed like this. So, you know, this idea of something happening immediately like that, you know, we have to sometimes wait for the future. So Maitreya is sharing with Diti and Kasyapa that in the future, you'll have a grandson that will be a great devotee. And this makes her very, very satisfied. Okay, I have these two sons that are not to the best of anyone's benefit, but then I'll have a grandson that will be a great devotee. Very serious, very strong, very important devotee, actually one of the 12 Mahajans. So this brings relief to her from the pain by being able to see this long-range joy that will be there later down the road. Here again, Shreyas and Preyas. The ultimate goodness as opposed to the immediate satisfaction. Now, in this verse, the Sanskrit word used here, mahamana, is quite interesting. Mahamana, it's very significant. Of course, we know from our maha mantra that the word maha means great and mana means the mind. So the mind is considered great when it is pleased. Here again, this is the nature of the mind, is to always find something that's satisfying it. And if we can dovetail that nature into the practices of devotional service, then that's to our benefit. So even from a material point of view, when the mundaner is pleased with their sense gratification, their mind becomes very happy. Now granted, it's very short term, as the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explains to us, but the mind becomes happy due to getting some immediate pleasure. Whatever that type of pleasure, whatever that type of sense gratification is, when one gets it, the mind's like, okay, I'm a little pacified now. Not for long. Count on that, not for long. But the understanding of the mind being spiritually pacified is hinted at here. Now, Diti is manifesting the opposite, as we've mentioned, of what a normal mother would find happiness, because she knows that the happiness she's getting instead, namely that her sons are going to be killed by Krishna, comes from a higher source, a higher knowledge, from transcendental knowledge. So this brings her some happiness. And Prabhupada mentions the Sanskrit word used here, brisham. Now, the nature of Sanskrit, Prabhupada gives a couple of examples, is that sometimes you add a word to an existing word to emphasize it to the maximum degree. So Prabhupada would use the word mudha, but then he would say vimudha. So mudha means ass-like, and vimudha means very ass-like. So in this way, it gives an emphasis to it. So Prabhupada mentions the word hit brisham, which in the word-for-word meaning is happiness beyond expectations. So we all desire to be very happy. And when we get our happiness met, and then it's met beyond our expectations, oh, that's even better. Like from the evening offering here to the deities, glubjaments are offered to Radha Shyam Sundar in the evening. And so if you go hoping to acquire one of these glubjaments, you'll be very happy. I'll be very happy. I don't know about the rest of you. Some of you poor souls aren't able to eat glubjaments. I feel so sorry for you. You can just pass yours over to me. But if there's a very kind devotee and they give you 3 glubjaments, your happiness is beyond expectations. Now you're extremely happy. So this is Diti's circumstance. All of these details that Maitreya has shared with her, all of the resultant Shreyas and Preyas activities in regards to these 2 sons that she's going to carry in her womb for 100 years. Most ladies that I know, by the time that 9th month rolls around, say, all right, let's just get this done. You know, it's a great burden carrying a child, what's it, 2 children in the womb, and all of the ways that that affects what you can eat, how you can sleep, how you walk, what you wear, all of these things, you know. So, but Diti does this vow, which we'll read more about in the next chapter. 100 years she carries these cells just to save the earth from any difficulty. So when she understands that, okay, these 2 boys are going to cause so much trouble, but they're ultimately going to be killed by Krishna, she becomes Brisha Mana, Mahamana. Very, very happy. Very satisfied. Beyond expectations. So this is the type of happiness that we look to achieve, to aspire. It was actually appreciated by the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. When Krishna lifted the hill, all the residents knew, we can go underneath the hill and we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be taken care of by Krishna. Krishna will protect us. I mean, they actually came because after the Govardhan festival, the Anakut, they all returned to their homes. And then is when all the rains and all started. Jiva Goswami explains this. Then all the rains and all started. And then they went to Krishna. Krishna, you've got to save us, please. It mentions how the cows were just so beaten because the residents, they would go into the house to avoid the rain if they could, but the cows were outside. So at any rate, they sought Krishna's protection and they knew Krishna will give it to us. But they became Vrisham Mahamana when they went under the hill Krishna lifted and found that all facilities were there. Gopal Champu explains that it wasn't just like you lift a hill up and there's all kinds of mud and dirt. There were palaces and roads and granaries. And so they were able to stay there for 7 days with no difficulties whatsoever. If we're asked to stand underneath a regular umbrella in one spot in the yard for 7 days, we're going to be very fidgety by the end of that first hour. What to speak of if you've got toddlers, it's going to be a nightmare. But here we see that Krishna, when he lifted the hill up, everything was there for their benefit. So they became Vrisham Manamaha, much, much happier than they expected to be. And in that situation, each of them were able to reciprocate with Krishna according to their own relationship with him to the nth degree. The gopis could look at Krishna as long as they wanted to, because he was holding the hill. He was the main pillar there. And the cowherd boys could all gather around and have fun and games and, you know, make jokes about their holding up too with their sticks and all. And the parents could, oh, look, Krishna's holding the hill. And Mother Jasoda, all concerned, oh, somebody should help. Krishna's not going to be able to. All the different types of relationships that are had, they were all fully satisfied beyond their expectations. So this is, you know, how we see this Shreyas and Prayas is there throughout all the different pastimes of the Lord, through all the philosophical explanations. This is what fuels our understanding of transcendental knowledge, by having faith and by understanding that everything the Krishna does is good for us. We may not see it at that particular point. We may not be clear of it. But everything the Krishna does will bring extreme happiness to our mind beyond all expectations if we just embrace it in that way. So that's just some thoughts on today's verse, this final conclusion to chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti. And then we'll start next week on the new chapter and see what Diti does to spare humanity at large and what austerity she can perform. So thank you all very much. If anyone has any comments or questions or corrections or... You know, Sita Damuni, you're really slopping off. Ragatmika beats you to the punch every single time now. Yes, Mother Ragatmika.
So one question I have is, if Kasyapa was able to foresee the future, I would imagine, why wouldn't he be able to understand the past and where these two demons came from? And that would have been pacifying to Diti to know that they were the Jayan Vijay.
Not every detail of every pastime of Krishna is known at all times to every devotee. Prabhupada, I was just listening to him say it on a class yesterday, that Kunti, she understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not all the other family members did. And even though she did know that, she still reciprocated as an aunt. So just because we are stepping back here and looking at this whole presentation and understand that this is going to come to here and that's going to come to there, that doesn't mean that the people taking part in that pastime at that time had that understanding.
Okay.
Prabhupada explains that if the, you know, if Mother Jasoda knew that Krishna was the personality of God, it would just spoil the whole relationship. So the pastime might not have been played out quite the same way if Maitreya had all this, I mean, not Maitreya, Kasyapa had all this knowledge and shared it all. Well, here, keep in mind that two cantos from now, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Also, in the purport where Srila Prabhupada says, mundane violence and nonviolence have nothing to do with the Lord's acts. So some devotees refrain from reading to their children the apparent...
From
reading to their children the apparent violent pastimes of Krishna and Krishna book.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you preface a narration of such to children?
Well, I mean, there is a necessity as parents to cautiously introduce our children to different activities. Just like, for instance, we've seen through this chapter in some of the more specific descriptions of Diti's pregnancy that the Gurukul students aren't present. That if it's on Wednesday and it's a verse that may be a little difficult for them to, so, you know, so that is a consideration. But, you know, do those same kids play video games? Because video games are just filled with all kinds of violence. So, you know, it's a time and place circumstance. It's according to the relationship of the parents and the children and how they present it and when. So, yeah, that, here again, just because we know something at a particular point doesn't mean that everybody knows it at the same time in the same way. You know, we have to, you know, kind of adapt things to the audience. I would always say that my preaching that I would do when I was at Polish Woodstock Festival, just a big drunken rock and roll festival, completely different than what one would speak sitting here on the seat of the Bhagavatam speaker. You know, time and circumstance. Mother Monumente?
About Govardhan Hill, I was wondering that during those 7 days that everybody was underneath in the shelter, activities were going as normal? Like,
that's not so much clearly indicated in Gopal Champu.
Uh-huh.
It simply indicates that facility was there for their regular life. So I don't really have sufficient knowledge to answer that. I would imagine Shivaram Swami could answer that very clearly. But I don't, I mean, all I know is that it, Jiva Goswami just mentioned, is that everything was there for them. Greenhouses, so that means, okay, well, greenhouses means you're going to feed the cows, you know, it means the cows are going to eat. It means that somebody's got to milk the cow, you know, all these activities. We would think that that would be the indication, but I can't speak to the factuality of that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, we'll finish there. Oh, Mother Kadasi.
Hare Krishna.
Mother Kadasi, Vrata.
There's two things, actually. I was wondering the same thing that Ragatmika Prabhu brought up about how it is that, why he didn't tell her that they were devotees, or maybe he didn't know, whatever. But I was thinking, too, that also shows her greatness, despite the fact that, you know, the mistake that she made. She was satisfied enough just knowing that Krishna was going to kill her sons. She didn't need to know also, you know, I mean, without knowing that, still she was happy. What was the other thing?
Well, to reflect on that, generally speaking, when one is Brisham Mahamana, their mind is very, very satisfied. They're not thinking, okay, yeah, but what about this? At least for that moment, the mind's given them a break.
And then the other, oh God, what was the other thing that you said? Oh, about children, yeah. And I was thinking that's a nice thing to ask, actually, because we have now children that have grown up in the movement, they're not kids anymore, and just what they think about, you know, how, because I was talking to Sri Vrindavan about that, and she said that one of her sons told her that it was scary for him. You know, those stories that with Amala Bhakta Maharaj, you know, the hearing, yeah. But that, I mean, that's just like one person. But it was just interesting to hear that he did find them scary, you know. But as adults, we just think, wow, it's wonderful. But, you know, I mean, people are different, so it's just an interesting thing.
And yet one of the most popular plays put on by the Gurukulas is the killing of Hiranyakasipu Bhumani Shingadev. I would have been a Shingadev! I would have been a Shingadev! All right, we'll finish there. Thank you. Oh, no, yes, no, maybe, yeah, no. It wasn't an encouragement, trust me.
Well, you stirred something in my heart. So, you know, there was a lot of points being made about how Aditi was so happy that Krishna was going to, you know, do a retroactive abortion there, I guess. So if a devotee, a Vaishnav, you know, comes to the conclusion, I can't help it, that their kids are a major disappointment and it's making them miserable, should they pray to Krishna?
All right, we'll finish there for today with that. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.